Ben Ratliff has been a jazz critic at the New York Times since 1996. He's also the author of a new book called The Jazz Ear, Conversations Over Music. After 10 years, Ratliff became tired of doing the traditional interview in which he asks jazz musicians about their new albums or concerts. As he told Steve Paulson,
I never come away from those kinds of conversations with a sense of who this person really is. And my question is how they hear. I mean, you know, ultimately I want to know how their brain works, right? But I can't, you know, get into it. But I want to know how they hear and what they listen for. And the best way to do that seemed to be to sit down with them and listen to music together with them, but not music that they had played on.
Well, let's talk about some of the musicians you sat down and listened to music with. Say the guitarist Pat Metheny. What made you want to talk with him?
Well, he's an exception to this general rule about musicians, you know, preferring not to think analytically. He does, I think, have an analytical mind, and he is incredibly bright and insightful and sort of speaks in complete paragraphs, you know. Part of this is because he came along and became very important in the mid-70s, just as the jazz education movement was really starting. And I think he has always been a kind of hero in the jazz education movement. So he's done lots and lots of clinics and lectures, and he knows what his issues are. You know, he knows what musical qualities are really important to him and so forth. So he came to this thing more prepared than anybody. He had a list of songs he wanted to talk about for very specific reasons. He wanted to listen to Glenn Gould playing Bach for reasons of touch. He wanted to listen to a Wes Montgomery solo from the early 60s for reasons of improvised structure.
Well, and another one you talk about is All the Things You Are, a 1963 recording by Sonny Rollins and Coleman Hawkins.
Yeah, that's what he wanted to start with. And it wasn't so much for Sonny Rollins and Coleman Hawkins, but for Paul Bley, who was the piano player on that record. Because Pat feels that that particular solo was sort of like the shot heard around the world when jazz musicians could start from the information that was there, the chords of the song, and then blast off into a whole new area of improvisation that wasn't, you know, abstract and wasn't aggressive necessarily, aggressive for its own sake. It was almost like folk-like, you know, it operated within its own logic, and it's very bold. Anyway, he had a lot of fascinating things to say about why this solo, for him, was sort of like the beginning of everything, you know, the Big Bang.
Now, you had a totally different kind of encounter, I get the sense, with the sax player and composer Ornette Coleman, who sounds like quite a character.
Well, Ornette's a very original thinker, and he doesn't necessarily answer musical questions the way you would expect to have them answered. He generally answers with another question of his own. He usually brings it back to his own obsessions, which are sometimes musical, sometimes absolutely musical, you know, music theoretical. But they're also philosophical. He's in a sort of perpetual state of bother about what happens when you name something, you know, like what happens when you set up a system such as Western harmony and you say, well, these are the rules and I'm going to call it something. And it gets into sort of biblical issues about naming, you know, like naming, like creation and naming, and this is this. This is now this for this purpose and it can't be anything else. And this kind of thing frustrates Ornette endlessly, and he's kind of like puzzling over it all the time.
I could imagine that maybe he wouldn't like the idea of having to pick out a few songs that had been especially influential for him.
Well, he loves music. He doesn't like being pressed into choosing particular things. He said, you know, I'll listen to anything. We had to narrow it down, you know. So I said, well, you know, how about some gospel music? And he said, sure, absolutely. And I had some other ideas, you know, Charlie Parker, John Coltrane. He said, sure, whatever. The one thing that he did suggest, which, you know, I hadn't seen coming at all, was a cantorial record. Somebody I had barely heard of, but who, you know, if you are a Jewish person, maybe you grew up in New York, you know, if you're over 70, you probably have heard of this person.
Is it Joseph Rosenblatt?
Joseph Rosenblatt, a cantor born in Ukraine who came to New York in 1911. And Ornette responded to this Joseph Rosenblatt record very emotionally. Ornette has this theory that we shouldn't think of notes as notes per se. We shouldn't think of a D as just a D. The person who is creating the supposed D and the note itself together form some kind of harmony. This is the way he thinks. So, you know, when he listens to Joseph Rosenblatt sing this very emotional song.
And this was something that was recorded, what, back in 1916 or something like that?
Yeah, thereabouts. So when he hears Rosenblatt singing this song, he thinks, are those really notes, you know, or are they not notes at all? Is this just pure Joseph Rosenblatt singing sounds that you can't define? It would take a lot longer than this interview to explain where Ornette is coming from. But it was an interesting conversation because once I had transcribed the interview, I kept understanding new things about what he said, reading it over for the second and third and fourth and fifth times. And I still do. He's a very curious guy.
He really was interested in pure improvisation. I mean, if that's possible. But that's clearly what he's going for.
See, you're getting at his train of thought. I mean, he is interested in this idea of pure improvisation that can't be quantified, that can't be defined by key. Yes, he loves the word sound, and he loves the word idea. And he does talk about music with a certain amount of rigor. You know, he talks about key and he talks about notes, but that's just sort of a formality. What he's really interested in is sound, and what he's really interested in is, you know, human expression. You know, you can get very mystical talking about sound and human expression, but look, that is what music is all about. That is why we respond to a piece of music, not because somebody is playing a D, but because, you know, the way they play a D and what they bring to it.
But it's almost as if someone like Ornette Coleman is trying to take music to another level. It's almost as if talking about music as if it's not music, as if it's something else, as if it's some expression, some elemental force in the universe.
You mean, and not just entertainment?
Yeah, I mean, maybe even not just art either.
Or something to be bought and sold.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, sure. I think what, at a couple times when I tried to break down what he was saying into sort of ordinary musical terms, he would say, okay, yeah, but, you know, the way you're talking, you're just paying the bills. You know, he's drawing a distinction between, you know, sort of formality and the real meaning of existence, if you want to put it that way. What he says, the way he expresses things is very poetic and incredibly funny, too. I mean, I tell a story in this book that a little bit after I did this interview with him, he won a Lifetime Achievement Grammy Award, and he went to Los Angeles to receive the award. And he gave this speech, which is the most fantastic work of poetry and tautology that I've ever seen. You know, it has to do with life and death and all this kind of stuff. And then he had to do some very light interviews with some, you know, TV news people or whatever who said, "So, Ornette Coleman, what's the achievement in your life that you're proudest of?" And he looked at the interviewer and he said, "Well, to answer that question, I'd have to go way, way back. In fact, I'd have to go back to the moment when you asked me that question." And, you know, the interview stopped then.
Ornette Coleman's Sleep Talking from his Pulitzer Prize-winning album Sound Grammar. Ben Ratliff is the author of The Jazz Ear, Conversations Over Music. He spoke with Steve Paulson.